So, firstly, the Red Cross is experiencing an extreme shortage of blood supplies. What do you think has contributed to the major drop in this area's available whole and plasma blood supply?
Well, I think it's we're starting to see things. It's sort of a good news, bad news situation. We're starting to see things go back to normal pre-pandemic. That I think has a major effect on what's happening. Prior to last summer, if you go back to 2019 and previous summers, this is typically the time of year when things start to become a little bit hairy, if you will, for us in collecting blood. Because it's the summer, people are going out and vacationing, whether you have families, you could be vacationing or travel sports or, you know, just doing things, but not thinking about donating blood. It's not a top of the line item. And, you know, we also have, you know, about 18 to 20% of our drives are at schools. So again, pre-pandemic, and that was affected, the pandemic did affect some of the drives we were able to do at schools this year. I think we may go back to more normal schedules next year, maybe this fall. But, you know, combine those two factors, and, you know, the summer usually is a challenge anyway. And, I think, you know, people are just getting out as more people have gotten, you know, vaccinated or just things opening up more. I think you're seeing more people go back to doing what they would normally do in the summer. And that's what we want people to do. We want that to happen. But what we do want them to do is to remember to donate blood, because that's something they did do during the pandemic. That is something that I can say that was definitely a real positive thing during the summer last year was, well, people may not have gotten out and did the normal things that they would do during the summer, unfortunately, and myself included and my family, you know, we always continue to remember to donate blood. And that is what helped us avoid a summer shortage last summer in 2020, which is the first time in 5 years that I've been with the Red Cross that we haven't had any type of blood shortage was last summer. You know, this past winter in January, we usually have a winter shortage there, didn't have a winter shortage. Again, it was people continuing to do to get out and making blood donation essential. What we're asking people to do now is just come out and donate as soon as you can now. And then if you could donate again, 56 days from now, sometime in the later portion of August, towards the end of summer, I think if we get people to do, you know, sort of turn those two donations, use a baseball reference, turn the double play there, donate now and in August, I think we can avoid, you know, emergency type shortages. But, you know, blood's a constant need, and we can only get it from people. We can't, you know, we can't manufacture it. It can't be made synthetically. So it's got to come from us. It's got to come from human beings.
And what kind of effects have the shortages caused on hospitals, and how have they had to react in turn?
Two parts to that. First and foremost, one of the reasons for this severe shortage is that we've seen a real spike in traumas and elective surgeries and different procedures that people weren't doing last year. So we've seen about a 10% rise versus 2019. And people may say, well, 10% is not that much. Well, when you're collecting blood and units of blood and for those procedures, that's a major impact. So there's about 75,000 more donations over the last 3 months. 75,000 more units, I should say, of blood have been used for those procedures over the last couple of months. And that's really impacted, our inventory locally and nationally. And so the hospitals are asking for more. And so what happens is the second part of it, that question, what happens when they don't have the blood, when the hospitals don't have that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do the procedure. It's as simple as that. I've had blood bank medical directors tell me this, several that I've worked with closely in the Missouri-Arkansas region, specifically in Missouri, two of them that said, you know, if we don't have the blood, a doctor comes to us and says, I need this type of blood, O negative or AB negative, whatever it might be, and if we don't have the blood, we have to tell that doctor, well, we can't, you know, you're not going to be able to do the procedure until we get it. And that delays the procedure from happening. If it's something that's a trauma situation, it could be more life and death. If it's an elective procedure, that could probably wait a little bit longer. But, you know, again, that's the kind of effect that can happen. You know, it holds up those procedures. And if somebody's gravely ill and needs to have a procedure done or treatment for a cancer patient where they really need that to sort of, you know, refuel their body after chemotherapy or something, it has a huge impact. So that's why we want to make sure that, you know, we nip this severe shortage in the bud right now and hopefully avoid any other additional higher message type of, issues with our blood and shortages with our blood inventory moving forward.
And you kind of touched on this, but how has the blood shortage affected patients who are being treated or are needing treatment?
they don't get the regular treatment. For a cancer patient, it could mean that maybe they would get a certain amount of blood. Maybe it's 2 units of blood. Maybe it only becomes 1 unit of blood if they need a specific type. That could be, you know, so it wouldn't be the full allotment of blood products. It might be a portion of it, you know, which certainly they're looking, you know, they want to make sure they have it. Getting part of it is good, but you want to get the full assortment of that. Again, don't have the certain blood type and you need to have a surgical procedure or, you know, for a trauma situation, that could delay that. So, you know, in each situation is different. You know, one particular trauma, as a medical director told me, no two traumas are the same. If someone comes in that was in a car accident, one type of car accident, depending on the severity of the injuries or where the injuries occur, if it's something where someone may have been in an abdominal section where they're going to bleed out maybe a little bit more versus a leg injury or an arm injury, you know, that could be several units of blood versus the other two. So it's really important to make sure that we have it. That's why we'd like to keep a 5-day supply of blood. We want to make sure that we take care of all of our local needs first and foremost. That's what we do. We have 88 hospitals that we supply blood for in Missouri and Arkansas. So we have a large contingency. We have, you know, several hospitals in the Cape area as well that we partner with. So they're counting on us. Their patients are counting on us to deliver. And we want to make sure that we can get that. And if we don't have the full allotment, if we're not getting enough blood collected, if it's going out faster than we can collect it, then we can't give the full assortment to those hospitals. You know, that makes us short. So, again, it's a key reason why we want to make sure that we have enough on hand so that patients don't have to delay or wait on a procedure.
And are there any restrictions or guidelines when it comes to donating in relation to COVID-19 or vaccines? And are you still offering a COVID-19 antibody test along with donations?
That's a great question. First, let me take the COVID-19 antibody testing. That will actually end on June 25th. The reason for that is that the hospital's cases have gone down, which is great. We want them to continue to go down. Hopefully some of these variants that are floating around will not impact things and we won't see a spike in those cases. But they've gone down. And so, you know, again, the need for doing that, continuing to do that has gone down greatly. So, you know, we'll stop doing COVID-19 antibody testing on all blood donations as of June 25th. Moving forward, as far as vaccinations, this is a great question. This is one we get a lot. I think there's a lot of myths out there, but to debunk any myths, if you get vaccinated, you can donate blood. There's no issue with that. If you have the Moderna or Pfizer vaccination, there has never been any kind of a delay. You can go and donate blood the next day if you get that. Johnson & Johnson, it was a 14-day wait. I believe now that's changed. I think you can go and donate as well right afterwards. Again, no issues with it. If people want to get vaccinated, as long as you feel okay and make sure you're eligible, that's the other thing. Sometimes we've had people come in who've donated blood maybe a month ago, got vaccinated, and wanted to come back in before that 56-day period where you have to wait in between your donations. They'll come in sometime between that, and they'll get deferred because they're not eligible to donate. And we've gotten that question a lot. You know, I've gotten, you know, if I get vaccinated, am I not eligible to donate blood? No, that's not true. But, you know, again, there's, I think, some messaging that's gone on from people who are, you know, anti-vaccination. And we want to make sure that they're not people aren't getting the wrong information about that and holding themselves back if they want to do that. Their choice, you know. So, yeah, we want to make sure we get that out. And there was a deferral period, I think, for the Johnson & Johnson one. It was a 14-day deferral period. We're just asking people to make sure that they know which vaccination they did receive. And, you know, they can tell the blood technicians when they're going through the health history what that is and if that's impacted. So as long as they feel good, that's the main thing. You know, sometimes I know people have said, you know, after they've been vaccinated, you know, they might feel a little might not feel that good after, you know, a day or two after they've been vaccinated. You know, maybe wait a couple days and then come and donate blood if you're eligible. So we want to make sure that people remember what they when the last time they've donated and when they're next eligible. The best way to do that is by downloading the Red Cross Blood Donor app, because it keeps a scorecard, so to speak, and history of all your blood donations. And when you donate blood, you make an appointment through the app. You can search by zip code or sponsor code. You can also go to redcrossblood.org. But the app is really a great tool because you can make your donation that way, make your appointment that way. It'll tell you when your next donation, when you're next eligible 56 days later, the day after you've donated. So it'll tell you when you're next eligible and what's closest to you based on where you donated. So this way you're not driving a long way to find another opportunity. So again, vaccination, it's not going to defer you from doing that. We have other deferral things for health reasons or medications you may be on. RedCrossBlood.org is the best source for all that information.